know. So if you are ready, maybe we can commence our Dhamma sharing session. Okay. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we will chant the Namo Tassa. Okay. Maybe we will also include Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. We chant in Mandarin first. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Kuan Si Pusa. Namo Kuan Si Pusa. Namo Kuan Si Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Okay, we will chant the salutation. Arahang sama sambudo bhagawa buddhang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, thank you so much. So this is a very simple puja that we will commence before our Dhamma sharing. Like I mentioned just now, we are indeed very grateful to LC, Mr. Chia, and family for their kindness and generosity inviting us all over to join him for this Sunday's very auspicious house dana. And it happened to be Labor Day, 1st of May. So, if I'm not wrong, the original date for House Dana was 2 weeks back, 17 April. But because her maid got some allergy problem or complication, so she requested that this House Dana be postponed and changed to a new date, which is 1st of May. So I told her, no problem, as long as we can develop the sharing. And more important is we can accord and flow because of condition. So at that time, I remember when Elsie came for the Tuesday class, I saw her face like a bit sad. Then I asked her why. Then she told me about the maid. I said, no problem, don't worry. Then there was joy again. So everything has its condition. So if we understand the Dhamma, we don't have to worry. When condition is such, we need to change, we will change. And it's normally a blessing in disguise. So if you have good nature, you should trust your nature, because your nature will know. Whatever you do in life, if you are true to yourself, sincere, then you have the Dhamma, your life will be beautiful, your life will be taken care of accordingly. The way you live your life decide how your life will be. That's why I always share with you all this very important factor about life. It is your understanding of life, your own mind. Like the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So we choose the care mind, like my teacher always share with me. The user of this mind is very important. If the user of this mind of us has wisdom, has Dhamma, then this mind becomes beautiful. That it can develop the appropriate right thought. that will bring about the right speech, right action, and the right way to live life. And you will have the right understanding of life, right view with regards to all of the nature's law that governs life and existence, like the law of karma, the law of the mind, how you function as a human being, how you operate as a human being, the dependent origination, or paticca samuppanna, se yin yan fa. Then how avijja paccaya sankhara, you will understand wu ming yan sing, how dependent on ignorant mental activity come to be. Then deluded thought, wrong thought, wrong condition, wrong action, and wrong speech. That's why it will bring about downfall, negativity of karma. So the user of thought is most important. So to understand life, we must understand this mind. If this mind is not trained, don't have the appropriate understanding of life, then it is very difficult for this mind to actually make use of your form and mind, or the thought and the physical body, to live life. And because of that, human being will develop what the Buddha calls suffering. When you have wrong thought, it will lead to negativity of action, speech, and livelihood. Then wrong thoughts are thought that condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have this evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you become evil, the Buddha said. That's how you violate your precept, you break your precept. Like the first precept, killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will do that? The Buddha said only evil people, vicious people, violent people, selfish people, deluded people. All these are the criteria of the three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why when they have this evil root, they become evil. And wrong thought will condition your negativity of mind. That's why it will condition your anger, hatred, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety, leading to all the suffering, misery. They call sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness. Sometimes it will condition you into such unhappy mental state until you become very miserable. Then they enter depression. So all these are the very serious human problem that society has to confront. That's why nowadays you can see in our society, many people, they have a lot of problems. They suffer so much, and depression is so common. Not only older people, young people also have depression. Nowadays you go to the hospital, psychiatric one, you can see a lot of young people there. Then if you are observant, you can also come to understand the most popular cause in the world now is they say you study psychology or to be a psychiatrist. And nowadays a lot of young children also take that course. So I was told among our Buddhist friends, many of their children, the parents told us they cannot understand why their children like that course. I got one sister, the youngest daughter, also want to study psychology. She also cannot understand. But in the States, it's very common. Very common. If you got a mental situation or problem, to them, it's very normal to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist to actually talk about your situation. But to the Eastern society, we are still not so mature. We are still like very sensitive. We want to go and see psychiatrist or or psychologists also, we don't want to let people know. Otherwise, they say, if people come to know, they say, he up there got problem one, that's why he sees. Then society is so negative towards such perception. But when you have the understanding of the teaching, you realize there is never a problem. That's why you need to have this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. The Buddha is none other than a human being that has, through his own hard work, strive on and cultivate over a long period of time. They call it world cycle, almost 3¾ world cycle or aeons, to develop this understanding, or he call it the Dhamma, which is the truth that can explain the way things are, the reality of life and existence. So he became the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, complete and perfect in enlightenment. That's why you can say he is the wisest living being ever to be born at his time when he arrived. Sakyamuni Buddha arrived 2600 years ago. And because of that wisdom, he also perfected the perfection, all of the virtue, goodness, kindness, generosity, truthfulness, patience, then even what they call all those perfection of love, compassion, renunciation, patient endurance, and many other perfection. And because of that, he has this ability to summarize to us all of life. He said everything about life, if you want to understand, he can explain to you. And he summarized all his understanding into just four simple truths. He called it the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And these Four Noble Truths are not ordinary truths. They are called Noble Truths because if you understand them, if you can awaken to them, you can become noble ones. Noble ones are called enlightened ones because noble ones are very noble in every aspect of their life. The way they conduct themselves, they have very noble understanding of life. They have all of the understanding of the laws that governs life and existence. That's why he called it wisdom. When you have wisdom, you can understand this nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why truth is nature's law that explains the way things are. So he has completely understood the nature's law that governs life and existence. He said in our universe, first, there is nature. The whole of nature is what life is all about. Existence is all about. The phenomenal world is all about. Then within nature, there are laws that govern life and existence. He called it the Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order of nature. The first two are scientific law. Nature's physical law, he called it Utuo Niyama. The second one is nature's biological order, he called it Bija Niyama. These two, the scientists are very good at it. They have penetrated quite far, quite deep into it. That's why we have this field of science, physical science. We got physics, we got chemistry, and we even got what they call engineering and all those things. Metallurgy, metallurgy. Then they even have a lot of other very advanced IT knowledge, technology, and various type of very sophisticated physical laws that governs the working of physical things. Then we also can understand many aspects of the biological order of things. That's how scientists come up with medical science, medicines, genetic engineering and all those things. Then they got botany, plant and all those things. These are the things that scientists are very good at. That's why they managed to develop a lot of progress in this field. So if you look at our civilization over the last 5,000 years of recorded civilization of our this present civilization, we call it, what name you call it? We don't have a name yet. The civilization before us, they say, was Atlantis. Atlantis civilization wiped off. Then before Atlantis was the Sumerian. So now I don't know what you call it. Our present civilization. You go back to history, those who study history, what was the earliest recorded civilization? Anybody can recall? That's your history, sejarah. We started off from where? How many years BC? 3000 BC or 2500 BC? The Mesopotamia, Babylonian, then the Yellow River. All these civilizations start from River Nile and all those things. So, let's say 3000 BC. Now, we are 2016 AD. 2000 plus 3000 is 5000 years of history. And do you know, even up to the 1960s, we are still so backward, you remember? Those who are born that time I was only 6 years old, about to go to school. 1961, I was in standard one, remember? Very easy to count. Form one is 67, standard six is 66. So during that time, life was so simple. Science and technology were so backward. Remember our TV? Black and white. Sometimes whole village can't even find one working TV. My village only got one shop owner got TV, where he repair TV on. And during that time, we seldom see car. Bicycle. We learn how to ride bicycle. Then the thing we play was so crude. We play marble, we play top, we play cards and all those things. Nowadays, children don't play this. They got what? Handpad, iPad, all the pad. Civilization is so different. But after the 60s, I went to school, then secondary school. But during the 70s, actually, the Western civilization were quite advanced, not that bad. They can actually come out with atom bomb, not nuclear bomb yet. That's like Hiroshima, the 40s, World War. But that time was so crude. Our aeroplane technology all was so crude, propeller, all the same. Then later on, into the 80s, I remember. Wow, 80s onward, you see a lot of changes in that. 80, 90, 2000, the last 30, 40 years, or 40, 50 years, you see tremendous progress in our civilization because science progressed. Scientists actually discovered a lot of new things. That's why when they understand this nature's law that governs life and existence, they can predict many things, they can understand many things, then they actually develop the understanding and they progress. That's why you look at our last 30, 40 years of civilization, our parents and even our grandparents, they can never imagine a world with such civilization. Now everything is so convenient. You want to talk to your children the other end of the globe, you just call the phone, WhatsApp, straight away. Then video call also can. My children call me straight away, we can talk. We see their face, they see our face. What they do, you also can see. So now, no more magic. Last time, like magic. Similarly, the Buddha, he is an expert in the spiritual field. This is scientific field. So the other three laws that governs life and existence, the Buddha said, they are the law of karma, karma niyama, law of the mind, how our mind functions. Then law of truth, dhamma niyama. So karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, these are the three other universal laws that governs all of life and existence. And these are called spiritual laws. And the Buddha is an expert in spiritual law, like the scientist expert in the scientific law. So that's why the Buddha can have this type of wisdom that can go way beyond normal mankind or human understanding of this spiritual law. So because of that, he became the fully enlightened Sammasambuddha. That's why he can summarize all his understanding into this Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. So he said, if you want to understand life, if you want to understand the spiritual law that governs your life and existence, you must understand this teaching which was there before him. That's why he teach these three laws, and that is what his teaching is all about. So the Four Noble Truths is very simple. He said, first, there is a First Noble Truth that explains to us clearly about life. What is life all about? He called it the First Noble Truth of suffering or dukkha. But I prefer another word. I call it the realities of life and existence. Because under this First Noble Truth of suffering, the Buddha said, there are eight kinds of realities in this world that living being or human being has to confront if you go through life, if you live long enough. The only thing he add in is, if you confront this reality without understanding, without this noble truth understanding, you will suffer, you will be afflicted, you will become miserable, your life will be affected. But if you confront them with understanding of his teaching or wisdom, then you will not be afflicted. Life will become beautiful, meaningful. So this is a very beautiful teaching. So I can understand all of life through the First Noble Truth. There are these other realities I will need to confront. And this reality is very simple, very easy to understand, especially for us Chinese. We tend to talk about this a lot. The first four reality that humanity need to confront according to the Buddha is birth, old age, sickness and death. And as Chinese, we used to hear about this. But the problem with Chinese tradition and superstition is they don't like to talk about it. They say it's taboo. Of all things, why talk about death? Why talk about getting sick? Why talk about getting old? He say, enjoy life while you can. That's why you got all these songs, Hua Hi Le Ho. You don't have a song where Sen Lao Bing Si Le Ho. Don't have. Because they don't want to be reminded of death and getting sick and getting old. They want to have youth. But this is a reality, the Buddha said. You cannot escape. If you live long enough, you have to experience them. Birth, when you come to this world, you have to go through. When you become parent, if you have children, you will witness birth. If things go your way, then birth is beautiful. We have what they call happy birth or good birth, where the parents very happy, first time become father and mother, then the grandparents, oh, got grandchildren already, looking forward to the full moon, Then celebrate first year, happy birthday, all those things. We only look at the beautiful side of life. But the Buddha says, what happens if there is complication during pregnancy? There is accident during pregnancy. There is complication during birth. Then when the child is going through the birth process, the life of the mother and the child, they may be at risk. That's why nowadays they have this, what they call cesarean birth. You need to operate on them. In the olden days, there is no such thing as medical science. So you cannot solve all those complications that come with birth. They call abnormal birth, means what? What is the English name? If the head don't come out first, breech. That one they don't know what to do last time. Now they can operate on your cesarean and take it out and help to revive the baby. So this is what reality of life and existence is. The Buddha said, when you confront birth, if you don't have this understanding, you will be afflicted if things don't go your way. Then as you grow old, it's the same. We can see our parents, our grandparents, sometimes our neighbors or what, how they suffer as they go through old age. As you get old, what happened to you? Your senses starts to fail you. You start to have more and more sickness and disease. You are more prone to problems. You cross the road also, you have to be careful. Your eyesight is failing you. Your hearing is failing you. And your mobility of your limbs are failing you. Then as you go further into old age, you tend to have backache, rheumatism. Then the most frightening one is traumatic diseases. Then you worry about heart attack. You worry about stroke and all those things. Then many of these old age related disease, like insomnia, dementia. Then as you age, you have a lot more life related problems. Sometimes if you don't have the good karma, good merits, if you don't have the means to be independent as you age, you'll find that you will have a lot of financial problem. You got not enough money to pay for your medical bill. You got not enough money to even sustain your own lifestyle. Because as you grow old, you have to retire. You got no more job, no more salary. You don't have saving investment. You will have to look for your children who are willing to help you. But nowadays, not all parents are so fortunate. There are some, their children neglect them. Some, their children themselves also need support. How can you look forward to them to give you support? So these are the related problems that comes with birth, old age, sickness and death. Then pending death, very traumatic. Death of a breadwinner, death of a loved one, somebody very close to you. And death can come in many ways. Accident, even nature's disaster, like tsunami, flood, building collapse, earthquake, then even war, riot, and many other possibilities, like snatch thief, which is quite common, robbery, kidnap. It can lead to premature death, then sometimes disease. So separation from loved ones can also cause a lot of suffering. So these four reality is already big enough an issue for most humanity to go through. But the other four is equally traumatic, the Buddha said. The fifth one, he said, when separation occurs, either through death of a loved one or separation from the thing you own, like your business, your wealth, your whatever possession that you own, that you hold on to dearly, it can happen due to economic crisis, when you are hit by economic crisis, or when you make a wrong decision in life, a wrong business decision, or a very bad investment call, you can lose everything that you own. Then sometimes you are not careful, you leverage, you can even bring about serious debt problem. You are in debt to the bank. After they force sell everything that you have, you still owe them so much. And when you cannot take all this stress, many of them succumb to it, commit suicide and other things. Then separation can also happen in the form of relationship failure, when the two decide to go their own way, spouse especially, then it leads to divorce, separation, or even those who are not married, not exempted, because relationship can just feel jilted and other things. And this can be very traumatic. Nowadays, you can see in this world many cases. Then the sixth one is, the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, especially in a career environment. Just now I heard Elsa's sister told me, she was an accountant, every time work with corporate company. And the last 8 months work with one company which is not listed, according to Elsie and her, you know, it's very challenging job. A lot of stress. But you see, it's a good learning place. Actually, the more challenging it is, the better it is. You have the Dhamma to learn from it. So, the career environment can be very stressful, because you have bosses that may not be so kind and so reasonable. There are certain bosses that really harass you. They say management by fear and harassment. They put fear in you. They harass you to deliver a deadline, everything. So if you work under such stressful environment, when you are with people whom you don't like, you can actually develop a lot of stress, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of unhappy mind state. And be careful when you are in this environment, because most of them, they end up having cancer. You know why or not? When you are stressful, when you have a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, your immune system go down. Because these are negative energy. You know what fear is or not? What stress is or not? It make your cells very, very miserable, very weak. That type of fear energy, very negative. Then your immune system go down. When your immune system go down, you somehow go through the environment. Not long, you will see how the cells start to mutate. And then they go and do the biopsies, they confirm cancer. That's why before it become like that, better go and check your blood test once a while, 6 months later. Then try not to be in such environment. Then the other thing about with people whom you don't like is, some people stay with their mother-in-law, not easy. Then some stay with their step-parents, also not easy, stepfather, stepmother. Then some go to school, they meet up with bullies and all those things, gangsterism. So when you are with this type of people, you suffer, the Buddha said. These are people whom you don't like to confront. Or people who abuse you, child abuse and all those things. These are the realities of life and existence, the Buddha said. Then the seventh one is very common, is it? Everybody has it, unless you are enlightened. He said, when you cannot get what you want in life, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, you become unhappy, you become afflicted, you become miserable, sad. The real life example is you expect to be promoted, didn't happen. Instead, another colleague whom to your mind is less eligible, but because the boss favor that particular employee, then you become very frustrated, very unhappy. Then not only that, sometimes when you have a problem in a situation, you complain. You expect your brothers and sisters to understand you, to come and talk to you, to help you, but they didn't turn up. Instead, the other people whom you didn't really know, not so close, your normal friend, they turn out and talk to you and console you. Then your thought, very negative, you go and think, people whom I don't really know, so they come. Why my own sister don't come? My own brother don't come? My own loved one neglect me? That will make you more depressed and more angry. And this type of thought can arise. Then expectation in life can be many ways. When you see something you don't like, you have aversion towards it, you have dislike to it. So your like and dislike are your constant reaction to sense experience. So the Buddha said these are mental hindrance, hinders your mind from becoming happy and peaceful. That's why every time you react to what you see, like and dislike, when you listen to something, you react. When you smell, you taste, tactile, feel, or think, throughout the day, you have this, what they call automatic reaction to sense experience, leading to all the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are called dualities that create mental hindrance. The Buddha called it sensual desire and ill will. When you arise them, it becomes habitual. Then it will make you think like that. That's a habitual thinking, heedless thinking. It arises the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. And this will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot have a peaceful mind. You cannot have a calm mind. That's why you cannot meditate. That is because you don't understand this teaching. So very simple. So the Buddha said this seven reality, in modern term, I don't describe it this way. But you describe this way, human being cannot quite follow you and understand. And the young people don't like to listen. Don't talk to me about getting old, getting sick and die. I'm still young. Don't talk to me about all this problem. I don't like. Because it's like very traditional teaching, and so on. Is it? People of the older generation, they talk like that. Now we all new kid, new generation, we talk different. They got their own lingo, and I also cannot understand them. But you relate to them in modern terminology, they can understand. Especially children, when they go through life, you say got career problem, relationship problem, they understand you. Career problem, they understand. When they work for the bank, under stress to deliver and perform, then they got target. Then you talk about stress, they understand. Financial problem, they understand you. Other type of words, they don't understand you. Then you have to talk to them in words that they can understand, especially relationship failure, then depression, and all say, they understand you very well, that one. Then you got other things like life related situation. When you fall sick, you talk about cancer, HIV, stroke, because they check the internet, they Google. I tell you, they can tell you a lot of things. So when you want to relate to them, you must understand them and use their words and lingo, and then they are willing to talk to you. you observe them. When they go through life, they will confront this reality. Then when they get into problem, they will become very unhappy. You can see them, you can feel one. And then there is the time to actually open up the line of communication with them. Say, boy or girl, how do you feel today? You don't look happy. Is there anything that you want to share or discuss it? Daddy, mommy, last time also went through this. We have some experience. If you don't mind, you share with us. We can guide you. We can share our experience with you. Then you can even consult us where we have gone through. And then they are very willing to talk to you, understand? If they like shy, fearful, and reluctant to share, then you have to go one step further. You say, don't worry, boy. Your life, I will let you decide. Even when you share with me or tell me your problem, I'm not going to tell you what to do, insist that you have to do like that, like that. Or don't be fearful that I will scold you for what you have done. No, that's your life. You have the right to decide how you want to live. I respect you for what you are. But as parent, I got a duty to guide you, to train you, to prepare you for life, to let you understand things that you may not have experienced before. So our experience are important to you. It's an asset to you. And you talk to them like that. They are willing to share with you. Because something, certain things are very personal that kids don't like to talk about it. Especially when they think their parents, old generation one, everything also no, no, no. First three words, no, 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 boy, cannot do like that. Oh, because you think that is love. Out of love, you want to protect them. Then you say, no, 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 cannot do like that. But last time when you kid, how? Your parents say, no, 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 you go do things behind their back. They will behave the same. If they don't go through you, because there's no avenue, no line of communication, what they do? They do things behind you. They know you won't agree. They lie to you. No lah, mommy, I go see my classmate lah. We all do study. We got our group study. After he went, what he do also you don't know. But if you have your line of communication open, it's different, understand or not? Then he is willing to talk to you because he knows you won't scold him. And you won't force him to do things that he don't like. Well, his life, let him decide. That's why my kid, they share everything with me. I got no problem with them and they got no problem with me. And they like me because I give them the freedom. But I say, remember one thing. Whatever you decide, be responsible for your decision. Because that is your decision, understand? Be good or be bad, it's your decision. So don't blame anybody. Then always remind yourself, whatever decision you make in life, it has its repercussion. If you make a wrong call, it can cause you a lot of future suffering and misery. And it can also inflict suffering on others. So if you do this, there is karmic implication. You will reap what you sow. In future, when there is condition, people will do back to you. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then you are willing to listen. I can share with you. You tell them, this is the teaching. Then only you talk about Buddhism or Buddha Dhamma. Otherwise, they run away. Then you explain to them. You know why Papa Mama life over the last how many years become so good? No more like last time. A lot of problem. Keep on having negative karma, keep on having to bang against the wall, keep on having problem. Now no more problem. Because we live life with understanding. We follow nature's law that governs life and existence. Law of karma is very powerful. Like the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So we have to be careful about our karma. How do we take care of karma? We have to train this mind to be ever mindful so that we will not violate this nature's law. Means we will not commit evil. We will not do evil because we reap what we sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the seed of evil. You will suffer. You will become miserable. Like Mandarin, 种因结果，种善因结善果，种恶因结恶果。So my teacher, Master Chen Hua, used to give this advice to all human beings. 世主千万要小心，千万不要种错因结错果。Don't plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. You will become miserable. If you plant the seed of goodness, wholesomeness, kindness, generosity, and virtue, you will reap all this fruit of kindness, goodness, and virtue. People will be kind to you, good to you, sincere to you, truthful to you, generous to you, love you, care for you, provide for you. But if you plant the seed of evil, you know what happened? The opposite will happen. Let's say you neglect your duty as a father. You go and gamble, you go and drink, you go and do all these funny things. You don't fulfill your duties. Then what happens? In future, when you come, you will have parents that do back the same thing to you. Your father, your mother also gambler, drunkard, and all those things neglect you. Because in the past, you have neglect your children. You didn't do your duty well. That's why you reap what you sow. 种因结果. So you cannot blame people. Why my father like that? Why my mother like that? Last time when you neglect your children, you never say why you like that. Sad. So karma is like that. So you want to train your children, let them understand when they are in trouble, that is the time to tell them and explain to them. Then they will listen to you. And then you say you want to have the good life, very easy. Yeah, you do all these things according to the teaching. If you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, means you don't break your precept. You don't create negativity of greed, hatred, and delusion. You will have good life. The Buddha says happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. You can put it to test. You don't believe. You try it out in life. If you every day also get angry, selfish, unhappy, are you living life? You are not living life. You are actually making yourself miserable. You actually worry about life, become so unhappy and sad in life. That is not life. To me, you might as well don't live. If this type of life, I don't. Why can't I just develop this understanding and develop a very wholesome mind so that I can have a lot of joy, a lot of love, a lot of kindness, a lot of generosity, a lot of wholesomeness, so that I can rejoice in many things. I can do things that make people happy, make myself happy, give love and care and compassion to my children, my loved ones, to all those who have relationship with me. Then if I have joy, love, compassion, and understanding, I can make life beautiful. If I'm sincere, generous, caring, gentle, pleasant, contented, my life is peaceful. I'm very happy. But the moment I get jealous, envy, unhappy, selfish, I become a monster. That's why the Buddha said, Dhammapada, worst one. If you act, speak, and think with an evil mind, unwholesome mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follow the hoof. So life is very easy. The Buddha said, if you want to choose to be happy. Means, train your mind to be mindful, heedful, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind to develop wisdom, to understand life, to live life. So the teaching is very simple, can bring about fantastic understanding that transforms you into a beautiful human being. Character-wise, personality-wise, you can become beautiful. So the Buddha said, after understanding this reality, you will have to meditate. You don't meditate, despite all your wealth, your merits, your blessing, when you confront all this reality without understanding, you can still have suffering. That's why he said you have to meditate on who you are, what you are. That is the eighth reality. He said, in short, all the seven reality that he explained to you just now, he said, can be summarized into just one aspect of truth. He said, it is through your self-delusion, sakkayaditti, believing that this human being and mind, means this so-called human being, form and mind, is what you are. Now this one is a bit difficult and abstract for most people unless you have the understanding of the teaching. He said, this one is not you. Yeah? Like this form and mind that I'm in, you call Brother Teo. This is not me. But karmically, through karma, born into this world, that's why it's called karmically conditioned out form and mind. The human being, for this nature of mind to come to this world, to experience the world, to live life to the fullest, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But if I deludedly misuse this form and mind, means without wisdom, without the Dhamma, I use it wrongly to arise the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, and make myself miserable, that is the wrong way of using this form and mind. Then what happens is, suffering will follow me. So this is the teaching, very simple, he said. If you have wisdom and you understand that this is not you, because element, physical body, cannot be you, no knowing. It goes the way of nature. That's why this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. And no one dies, because this is not you, karmically conditioned out. The consciousness is energy, cannot die. So both of these, the Buddha said, they are not you. But if they are not you, then how come it's karmically conditioned out for you to use? It is a tool and a vehicle for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauties or wonders of life. But if you use this mind, body and mind wrongly, you come here to become afflicted, develop all the suffering and negativity of action, speech and thought leading to all the negative karma. Then the Buddha says, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma, every moment and every instant. So what happened? You cannot blame yourself, because this one come here to suffer because you are born of your karma. All the funny thing that you did in your previous life, you haven't repaid. That time when you do, you think you advantage. But law of karma is you reap what you sow. You neglect people, you ill-treat people, you harm people. Now come back, you become the victim. People neglect you, ill-treat you, harm you, create all the suffering for you, like what you did for people. And then you come without this understanding. That's why you come with delusion. You will suffer, you will become miserable. So this is not having the understanding to use the mind and the body to actually have the right understanding to live life. So our mind, that's why in the beginning when I started, it is the user of thought. The user of thought, if you meditate and develop this understanding of the teaching, you will develop what they call wisdom, 智慧. When you have the wisdom and the understanding, this form and mind will understand life. Then you will not do all those funny things that lead to negative karma. That's why this form and mind become beautiful. And it can really develop the understanding to be happy, to be beautiful, to truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And this is how you live. But if you don't know how to develop this understanding and wisdom, you know how you will live or not. Take for example, you have this mind. We call it a tool, let's say T-O-O-L. Yeah? tool. Like a knife. In the kitchen, you use your knife as a tool to help you cut fruits, shape fruits, or carving and other things. But instead, if you use this knife wrongly, let's say to cut yourself, to harm yourself, hurt yourself, hit out at others, harm others, is that the right way to use that knife? Wrong, isn't it? Precisely, human being is using your thought that way. You use your thought to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable, scold people, abuse people, and hit out at people and make people miserable. That is how you use your mind. Because you are deluded, you are foolish. Out of anger, out of selfishness, out of delusion, you do all this. How do you harm yourself? It's only a thought. You can think until you yourself become so miserable, so unhappy, so depressed, so stressed out. That is wrong thought, isn't it? Means through delusion, ignorance, you go and think wrongly. You think the selfish way. You think the deluded way. You think and make yourself angry, unhappy, full of hatred, full of jealousy, full of unhappiness. When you cannot get what you want, you become miserable. And this is harming yourself, hurting yourself, using the thought negatively to bring about so much negative emotion in you. And that is what suffering is all about. That's why when you don't have wisdom, you will use the thought wrongly. And what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your sadness, your unhappiness. Thought that bring about insecurity, misery, that always think negatively. You don't even have a moment of joy or happiness in life. Every day also moody, unhappy, worry about this, worry about that. That is not living life. Understand? Worry about your children, worry about later on your grandchildren, worry about your health, your business, your property, your maybe whatever thing that you hold on to dearly. And all this is going to lead to unhappy state of mind, misery, because you don't have right understanding. You don't know how to use thought. You use it negatively. And I used to share this. Human beings must know how to love themselves. You know what is loving yourself or not? Not the Chi Sin Lo love themselves. No. That one is sadist. Love yourself means like you love your children. Very easy. You love your children means what? You will go all out and protect them, is it? And provide them with the best, is it? So that they will not be harmed, correct not? So that they will not have problem. That's why you can love your children. You can sacrifice for them. So if you can also do the same to yourself, love yourself, what will happen? You will not allow yourself to be harmed, hurt, or cheated, or become miserable. That is loving yourself. Means what? You don't go and think the wrong thought anymore, understand? Don't go and think until you yourself become miserable, unhappy, sorrowful, depressed. That is not loving yourself. Not loving yourself means you arise the wrong thought to make yourself miserable, to torment yourself, to make yourself so unhappy. There is so much thing in life. There is so much joy in life, understand? You can just call up a good friend, have a good chat, and recall the good old time, or go out with them for a good drink. Go and have a nice cafe, coffee, and cake somewhere, and talk about happy moments, recall the good memories, or share your understanding of life, and learn from each other, rather than lock yourself at home, become moody, miserable, depressed, and hate the whole world, including yourself. That is not living life. That is really, really delusion, stupidity, not loving yourself. Why do you have to make yourself so miserable, so unhappy. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. That will bring me to another advice. I used to tell all these people, you hold the key to your own life destiny, true or not. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. But your life. Don't tell me you don't know how to live, you don't know how to choose. But if that is the case, why is the whole world full of suffering? Why are most human beings not happy? You mean they don't know how to choose? Cannot be there, correct? So what is the problem? Where they don't have this teaching. So when they don't have this teaching, they don't understand. They keep on behaving deludedly, arising the wrong thought. They don't know how to use this thought, this form of mind. They don't know how to arise the understanding to live life, to be happy, to be with the moment, to really experience the wonder, the beautiful and wonders of life within each and every moment. So this is what the Dhamma is all about. So the Buddha say, okay, now you know about the first noble truth, reality of life, example. Reality of life and existence. So you know how to live life. Because at least now you know what constitutes suffering, the eighth reality. Then the second noble truth, he said, he explained to you the cause behind all your suffering. Why you become afflicted, why you become miserable and unhappy. It is because of craving, he said. Your craving, your desire, your expectation in life, your grasping and your clinging to the things that you believe you own. And all this wrong view, craving, clinging, grasping, come about because of your self-delusion. You believe this is what you are. That's why when you believe this human form is what you are, then you will have problem, because you will worry about it getting sick, getting old and die. That's why you have suffering. When they diagnose with you traumatic disease, like biopsy suddenly positive, cancer stage 1, then what happened? The thought project, fearful, worry, because you attach, you believe this is you. But if you understand that this is not you, it's only a vehicle for you to come to this world, like a car, use it. When it's time to repair, send it for repair. Then you don't worry about that car. But now you think that car belongs to you, you think you are that car, that's why you become miserable. If you look at this human being, it's just like there is a body, physical body, that moves you around, like your car that takes you around. Then there is a consciousness inside that instructs this body to move around. So it's just like the driver that drives the car. The energy can follow that. If the driver say walk, you walk like that car, because everything is in order. The driver, if he wants to drive fast, he can drive fast. If he wants to go slow, he can go slow. He wants to turn around and do the manual, or he can. But you can see the driver is the driver, the car is the car. The two entities are different. So ability to control doesn't mean you own, because it is still separate. But when the consciousness or the mind is in your body, why can't you see the two as different? Why do you still believe this one is just one entity? You think the body is you, you think the mind is you, you are this human being. If you separate it out like the driver and the car, then you see very clearly that ability to control this body doesn't mean that the body belongs to the mind. Understand? Let's say I ask you a very simple question. Is this human being really what you are? Most people will say, sure, why you say not me? I want to run, I run. I want to cry, I cry. I want to do anything also I can. I want to commit suicide also I can. Why you say not me? Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? But then I ask you the next question. If let's say this body, one day, maybe better to use my body. Let's say one day got accident. paralyzed from the spine, waist down. Then the mind is inside there. I say walk. Cannot walk already. Correct. The mind want to walk, but the leg cannot carry. Means like that car. Either no more petrol, or some of the vital part already damaged. That's why even F1, Formula 1 driver also, that car cannot move. Means no more condition. And then you see, the mind is still trapped inside. But the body is the body. But the body is not functional anymore. Just like the eyesight. If somebody is blind, you ask him to see, he cannot see. Because he's blind. So seeing is a function of what? Not only the mind alone. The condition of the organ must also be there. So this is a condition arising entity, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can call this is me, this is I. That's why the Buddha's teaching say this is anatta, non-self. Condition arising, not you. You must see this in the meditation. Then you are not deluded by it. And then you will understand the second noble truth. When you understand delusion, that condition craving is the cause of suffering. So if you sever this delusion or stop this delusion, then you don't have to suffer. True or not? That's why the Buddha under the third noble truth, the next one, he said, suffering need not be when you understand this teaching. That's why he said, enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana, can be realized. And that is the third noble truth. Then he didn't stop there. No? He continued with one more truth, the last one, the fourth noble truth. He said, there is a path that will lead to this understanding, that it will lead to the end of all suffering, it will lead to the enlightenment. So namely, the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the meditation. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will become noble ones, enlightened ones. But these are the quality of an enlightened being. They got this eight path factor that makes them enlightened, makes them different from normal human beings. And the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. It consists of the first noble path factor of right view. Right view with respect to the three spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma. Then right view will condition right thought. They are very noble in the way they arise their thought. Then how right thought condition right speech, right action. They speak very gently, very pleasantly, very eloquently. They bring about harmony, love, joy and happiness. That brings about understanding, no more disharmony, no more argument. Then they perform right action. They don't kill, they don't harm, they don't commit sexual misconduct, they don't violate the precepts. They are very generous and very kind, very sincere, full of respect, contentment, full of gratitude towards people who has helped them, who are kind to them. So all these are the noble quality of an enlightened being. Then they constantly arise the four right effort to purify their mind, means to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. Then when they are more and more mindful, they can prevent the arising of all this wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. Then they will arise the right effort to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, born of the right view. Then they will arise the right effort to perfect all this, or to improve upon, refine upon and perfect all this right thought, right speech and right action. Then they are ever mindful. They got right mindfulness leading to right samadhi. People who has this Noble Eightfold Path factor, the Buddha said, you will become beautiful, you will become noble ones, enlightened ones. So these four noble truths summarize to you all of life, mundane and supramundane. Anything that you want to understand about life is all in this teaching, and it's so simple. And with that, I will end my sharing today. So I hope it is useful to you. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. If you want to understand more, you go and read my seminar paper book, the Tin Book. There was a seminar paper I delivered in Bangkok in the year 2013, August, I remember, 3 years ago, two over years ago, coming to 3 years. Yeah. That book summarized to you what I mentioned just now. Then it also talked about a few more things that I don't have time to share with you. He also talked to you the benefits of training your mind to develop this meditation which the Buddha taught. He called it Vipassana meditation. Then how to understand life. He even talked about the present moment awareness, the reality of life and existence. If you want to understand life, he said very easy, the Buddha said. You ask yourself, what is life? Life can be equated with what? Existence, isn't it? To go through life is to pass through existence, isn't it? To exist is to live. So we can summarize what is life through understanding existence. So to exist is to go through time. T-I-M-E. Correct? So the whole spectrum of time, we can define as past, present, and future. So that will cover the whole spectrum of time. And this is what life is all about. Can follow? Yeah? Of these three, I ask you, which is the reality? Present moment, isn't it? Why? Past already gone. No more reality. You can only recall. Finish. Future, yet to come. Not a reality. So, the present moment is the only reality in life. What happens is, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? That question. You can answer, you understand life. What are you doing? Most of human beings. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never live. That is what human being is doing. Why can't you be with the moment to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life? You can only do that when you don't think. When you are without thought, you are so beautiful. But I ask you one question. Can you be silent to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, moment after moment? That is what meditation is all about. You can meditate, you can be peaceful all the time. Every moment is so beautiful, so meaningful, because you don't think, you don't worry. But to live life, you have to plan. Understand? You have to also think. But plan within the moment. Plan mindfully. Think mindfully. You don't have to arise the stirring of the mind. The moment you think, there is fear, there is worry, that is heedless thinking, wrong way of living life. But if you can be with the moment to reflect and contemplate, to accept the reality of the moment, whatever happened within that moment, you can just silence your mind and just accept that reality. Let's say, take for example, doctor diagnosed me, suddenly biopsies come out, 4-stage cancer. So, what is the natural reaction? Human being got two choices. Normal human being do what? Panic. Straight away, the face also put out, they say. Oh, there is so much fear. You mean I got cancer? Next question is, how much longer am I going to live? The doctor say, you're lucky 6 months. Not lucky, 3 months. You have more fear. Most people will go and worry about it. Create fear through thought projection. What am I going to do? How am I going to tell my loved one? I'm going to lose my job. How am I going to pay all this medical bill? I'm going to suffer like anything because they say cancer is a very severe and traumatic disease. A lot of pain. They have to take morphine. Then the chemo drug are not cheap. So when you start to project all this, you become miserable, understand? Actually, at that moment, you can still live life and become beautiful. That's why the Zen say drinking a cup of tea is meditation, life. I drink. Well, at that moment, as they drink, they are mindful. They are with the moment. They didn't project their thought. Means what? They don't worry. Understand not? They don't create emotion. They are fully with the moment to experience that beautiful moment, that Chinese tea, that whatever, pu'er or tia kunyik or what. Then they really with it, fully with it. That's why there is this joy, there is this moment of peace, happiness. That's why they can experience the beauty and wonder of life within the moment, because their mind is not like human mind. So there is two choice: worry about it and become miserable and project your thought. The other one is to accept this reality. Okay, fair enough. Doctor said terminal cancer, fourth stage. So what? This is a reality. Not only me can have to experience this, but this reality is available to all living beings sooner or later. Whomsoever who have the condition will go through. So if I have wisdom, I don't have to suffer. I can be at peace with it. Yeah, I accept this reality. Then I ask myself, okay, what can I do? What are my options? Instead of worrying about it and becoming miserable, correct? And then I got a solution. You know? I ask around people who has gone through. They say, hey, don't be stupid. Go for second opinion. Sometimes doctor also make mistake. The lab also make mistake. And many cases they make mistake. And second opinion come out, positive no result. Wow, so happy. I got one classmate just did that. He was diagnosed here. That guy say very likely prostate cancer, don't know what stage. He went out to Singapore, do an independent test. 1 week later, result come back, negative. Now he is back in heaven. He is very wealthy. That's why. Just because one bad news, he become miserable. Then next week, even WhatsApp to us that we cannot sleep, telling us she's hoping for the best. But when the result come back positive, he was so happy. Why? Just a thought. How come he has such power to make you so miserable? But you can accept that reality, then go and do a second opinion. Doesn't mean it will be positive. And also doesn't mean it will be negative. What happened? Confirm positive. Then what are you going to do? Still the same, isn't it? Do what you have to do. If I got 3 more months, I will leave those 3 months. Then I will, of course, try to get second opinion from the internet or from professional. They say, very likely your diet, your lifestyle. So I start to change my diet and my lifestyle. But the problem is, those who have the Dhamma seldom have this problem, because they don't have fear, they don't have stress. These two don't have, you actually 90% cannot get this type of problem when you are young. When you are very old, maybe. Your body is still a body, go the way of nature. But when you are before 60 or 70, most of the time you don't have this problem. Unless karmically, DNA, because you do a lot of killing last time, cause so much suffering. So now the disease come in such a way that you have to go through all this suffering. But they don't have condition to make you miserable through other means. So they give you this DNA so that you will suffer through this. So maybe if you want to know more, you can read the book. The benefits of meditation and all things. Okay, now I will end, and you can ask questions if you want to. Okay? I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we open it up. Anybody got question? The mind is here. Put up your hand. Then you can pass to Elsie. This is just for sharing. You can ask me anything, not necessary about this talk. Anything you want to know, you can ask. How was the food? Good, huh? You come, Elsie here. Sure, good food one. Because she told me just now, is it when the maid and the other sisters made, I don't know what, the two combined, very, very motap thing on the food. He said the tart, you can take back extra. They make 100, 100. What tart is it? Cheese tart. Hotel standard. So you cultivate Dhamma, your karma also hotel standard. Because you must do it with your heart, sincere, understand now? Because they are very committed to their cooking, because they are proud of their cooking. That's why they can do it so well. So if you have faith, you cultivate this teaching, you can do better than them. Your cake come out, means the fruition of your cultivation. They are like this fruit, no? The fruit that you have. They will become equally beautiful. That's why you must check whether you have the faith and the understanding or not. Don't be afraid of failure. They also tried so many times, then only they got it right. So life is not what you think. If everybody first time try also correct, then the whole world will be full of great cook. So everybody also go through life the same way. You learn, then you try your best. Then when you are skillful, you do very well. pass the mic. Better. Yeah, the host must say something. Yeah, very good. Sadhu, thank you. Yeah.
What you want me to say? Okay. So first of all, I would like to thank Brother Teo for his time and Dharma sharing. And I also would like to thank all of you to take your time coming here to join this wholesome activity, the House Dana. Hope you all enjoy the food and had a good time. Thank you.
Yeah, you
hello.
Can add.
Still a lot of food left. You can go for second round.
Or you all can tapao.
Or tapao.
I was also told today, Elsie got the mother-in-law, the mother, the brother, the sister, the daughter, all together with her. Maybe experiencing House Dana. So for the first time, I think the mother-in-law did the puja just now. I didn't have the condition to explain. So some of you maybe can translate to them and explain to them. When we do puja offering, means we offer objects of significance to the triple gem. The first thing we offer is the tray. The tray that has a candle, that has a incense in the middle, and has clear water. Then like in our chanting book, we explain why we offer this. Because it allows us to recall to mind the significance of this offering, the Dhamma significance. Clear water means our mind has to be cultivated until like this clear water, so that we have this clarity of mind. to develop the understanding of the teaching, so that we are not deluded. Then the other thing is about the incense. The incense, you can smell it in the real incense, means they have fragrance. They will shine for far and wide. Then you can really smell them. So, in the same way, when we cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, our virtue, our goodness, our kindness, and our wisdom, they will also shine for far and wide. Means like this fragrance, people can feel you. People can sense you through the way you conduct yourself, through the way you act, you speak, and you share. So this is to remind us of this teaching, that we are worthy of offering, that we have this cultivation, this virtue, so that it can actually shine for far and wide like the incense. Then light symbolizes wisdom. Light helps to overcome darkness, which is ignorance. That's why it brings forth the luminosity for you to see clearly, for you to develop the wisdom light to actually pierce through the darkness of ignorance that has clouded your mind and make you what they call deluded. It screen away your nature. Your nature is actually bright and clear, shine for all the while, but because of this dark cloud or delusion, ignorance, they actually clouds you. Then we offer the other offering, fruits, remind us of the karma, karmic friction, and also remind us of the generosity of people making such offering. Then when we say sadhu, 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 means we rejoice with their generosity, their kindness, their wholesomeness, their sincerity. So all these are meritorious action. Then flower we offer is to remind us of the impermanence of this flower. Same way our body is like this flower. Sooner or later it will wither. It will go the way of nature. It will get old, get sick, and one day die. So you have to strive on with heedfulness before this body give way. Yeah, this is the vehicle for you to come. That is the mind and the consciousness trapped in the body for you to develop the cultivation. So use it before it's too late. That's why this flower symbolizes impermanent, ephemeral nature. Then remind you of the diligence that you have to arise to make use of it, to cultivate while it can still serve you. And my teacher has a very good saying to remind people. He said, if this body can talk to you, you know what it will tell you or not. That's why after you listen, you also feel shy. Because the body, if it can talk, it will tell you. He said, you are like the master that owns this body. He said, oh master, harm me not. Do not harm me, for I am only tissue and cell. Foolish people, you know what they do. They got problem, they go and drink, drown themselves in sorrow, harm the body, make them miserable. That's why he say, harm me not, I am only tissue and cell. Have me work for you while I am still young and able, before this body of yours is too old, too weak, too fragile to serve you. How will you feel? He said, have me work for you, you know, for the good of the many and yourself, before I am too old, too sick, and too fragile to serve you. You're not shy. Some will go and drink and drown yourself in sorrow. 苦酒满杯 some of sing that song and drink and make yourself so sorrowful and miserable. That is foolishness, isn't it? Correct, huh? Life is not worth living if you have this type of wrong thought. Life can be so beautiful. If the body can talk to you, you talk to you so nicely, you know. And you some more don't know how to, through love and compassion, thank the body for serving you so long. You take the body for granted, isn't it? Every time you scold the body, a stupid body, why get sick so easily? Here ache, there ache. Then some more complain. Why I'm not beautiful? Why I'm not handsome? If I am, you ask your own karma. You want to be handsome? You want to be beautiful? You do certain things. You must have a lot of goodness and kindness. You can be beautiful character-wise, personality-wise. Then you can also be beautiful physical-wise. But you must know how to develop them. Like the Cantonese say, every day, fu hao fu min, how to be pretty. How many don't know Cantonese? Every day also sad and miserable. Then how to be pretty? The face also long. So miserable. You know cartoon when they draw you unhappy. And now you got WhatsApp. The happy face look different. That's why when you cry, you are sad, you stress yourself out and make yourself so ugly. When you smile, you are so pretty. So smile more. When you rejoice, you are so beautiful. So have more joy, have more love, have more peace, kindness, goodness. That will make you beautiful. Inwardly and outwardly. Otherwise, every day also, you're so sad, so miserable, so full of fear, worry, anxiety. That is not life. To me, you might as well don't come. You make yourself so miserable, and your loved one also felt sad for you. Mommy, why are you so sad? I got one meditator, Dharma friend last time. She attended my class in Champaka. He got a brother who got depression. The brother very successful early on, but because I think heedless, do too many other things. Finally, I came to know he got girlfriend also. Got wife, got children, also got girlfriend. That's why he become miserable. Then his business collapsed. He got into big problem. Then he got a lot of other related, and he became depressed. Until the niece, 5 years old, can see that he is not happy and depressed. Because he used to play with the niece. Then one day the niece came to him. He said, I don't know what she called him. He said, how come you look so miserable and so sad? He said the niece also can see, when she came to my class. Later on, as he recovered from it, he said, my niece also can see, that I'm miserable. I said, not only the niece, your niece, everybody can see. You are so miserable compared to your cheerful day. When you are very cheerful, you talk to her, you joke with her, you buy gift for her. Now you come, you lock yourself out, you are alone. Anybody also can feel that. That's why when you are not happy, you are ugly. You are miserable. And everybody can see and feel. Okay? Now go second round. Okay. Then after that, got question, write down. Maybe 3 o'clock we should end. Another half an hour. Okay, can I have your second round?
Allow me to say something.
Elsie, you want to say something?
Try apologize for his absence. For this house, Sana, due to his work commitment, and he's still in UK. And I would like to thank my maid for the cooking, and Kim's maid also, to make this house dana a success. And the Kayanamita who brought the food. So hope everybody had a good time, good food. So now y'all can go for a second round.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you must have gratitude towards people who have helped you. Then we also rejoice with the wholesomeness of Kayanamita for making this occasion such a meaningful one. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, go. Second round. while I go washroom.
Thank you. Yeah. 然后就这样按了。